Amen. Don't you love him? Give him a hand. NR and Sarah, what a delight they are. We just appreciate the opportunity to be here today. Every week we open up Good Morning Speedwell usually, but we're here at Bluewell. Good morning, Bluewell. All right. I don't know if he was going to do it or not, but it's late. That's okay. Good to have you here today. It's good for us to be here today. I reckon it's a little bit better for us to be encouraged by it because we were just here about a month or so ago and you invited us back. They always said if you get invited back, that's a good sign. But anyway, it is good to be with you. We've experienced some different things, colder weather, and I think when we were here before, I don't believe Hurricane Helene had came through yet. So several things have happened since then, but it's good to be here today on your Pastor Appreciation Day. I thought he was going to steal my opening there as he was going back and talking about it, though, but we appreciate NR and Sarah so very much that they are pastors here at the Voice of Praise Worship Center. And my mind began to go back today, and that's why I wanted to host him for just a minute or two. Is that okay? And then we'll share the word with you. But I began to think back by, I don't know, 10, 20, 30, 40, almost 50 years, just about. Before we first introduced, he's already mentioned that, down at the Max Metis PH Church. But ever since then, we have known him through the years. And Brother NR, what a blessing he's been. But he loves to play music, as you very well know that. He loves old cars. He likes to diddle with them and piddle around. Believe it or not, he likes to attempt to play golf. He tries to tell me everything I need to do. And even that Jalen, his people there with that 21 South, they make music together. But I got to play golf with both of them one day. And what a delight it is. I know he's excited about that Daddy's Dobro, how it's went up through the charts. And it's gave him the big head. If you notice today, as he just got big. But anyway, what a blessing that he's been. I remember NR's dad from even years ago, before we stepped aside to pastor full-time at Rural Retreat. We worked at Walmart. We bivocational for many, many years. And NR's dad would come in there almost every day. And he'd always say, "You seen that NR today?" No, haven't yet. He's in early in the morning. Hadn't had a change yet. But anyway, what a delight he was. And my mind goes back real quickly then to a couple vivid moments. It's Pastor Appreciation Day that I'll tell you about them, though. But many, many years ago, we were privileged to go on a mission trip with them over to Africa. You remember that, Sarah? Quite well, don't you? On that particular occasion, Sarah had someone cut into her grass hut, steal her I'm sure you've probably heard about it, steal her passport and all of her belongings, and here we were in a foreign land and no way to get out now. She was truly a troubled lady. But God came through, and really blessed in that situation. And then several years later, we were able to go to Honduras on NR on a mission trip that he got up. And I'll never, ever forget that one in more ways than one. My son got to go with us on that trip. And I've always wanted to go with him on one and take him. And what a delight. He is a safety inspector at a job. And we went to Honduras on a building project, and how many of you know that safety rules are kind of out of the picture down there? But anyway, I mean, it just really messed with him, though. But I was so glad to do that. And then I was thinking of even Nathan here today. Nathan and Vicky, so good to see them here today. And Nathan, on that occasion, I'll never forget it, had a tragic fall there. Could have been a terrible fall, but that day, God truly came through and blessed. The last time I was here, I mentioned to you something at the close of our message about your pastor. I said, "You've got a good one. You need to stand behind him." I don't know if you remember it or not. I went back through my notes on it. You need to stand behind your pastor. And I say that again today in confidence. People, you need to stand behind your pastor. You've got a good one. Count your blessings. And to NR and Sarah, both of you, appreciate what you're doing here, and blessings to you. I always try to just collect notes and everything and just go over them. And I began to think last time we were here, We started off with an old-time hymn out of the hymn book. I'm not going to do it today, but I'm going to mention it to you today. But we sang a song, and I had you to help me out. Our Lord is coming back to earth again. Y'all remember that? We sang that old hymn, oh, part of it, oh, that day. And I believe it's still to be true today. I believe our Lord is, I not only believe it, I know our Lord is coming back. He said so. And I can't help but believe that it's sooner than we've ever realized. It's right on the horizon. And I told you that I believe we were living in the end days. And I believe it with all my heart that we really are. I mean, look at the news, whatever, cut the TV on. How can you doubt we're living in the end days, even today? And I told you, my ultimate goal now, as we've got kind of gray-headed and everything, I've not lost my hair yet like NR, but anyway, I shared with you how that we needed to finish well. And that's my ultimate goal, is to not only finish well, but to help other people finish well. My message that day was fight for the faith. Y'all remember that? We used a vivid inscription that day. Well, we shared with you what had been on TV. You remember the opponent that is out there running for your candidacy for president, how he went up there and he said, fight! And how I said, we need to fight for our faith once again, believing in the Word of God and in the Bible, my friend. If there's ever a time we need to do it, it's the hour we're living today. I want for a few moments today to go to a little book that I don't know if you have ever had a message out, preached out of it. I don't know that I've ever preached, but maybe one other time out of it. Oh, but it's a little book right toward the end of the Old Testament called the Book of Nahum. That's what we want to go to today. And in the Book of Nahum, we got one verse we're going to share with you in a moment. Oh, but I believe naturally as the Bible, I believe it's full of gold nuggets per se. It's full of promises of the Word of God that we can latch on to that can be valuable in our walk with God. And today I'm hoping that I can give you a gold nugget from the Word of God that has two or three things in it. I even looked it up. My mind goes crazy now. You have to bear with me. But I know they call them troy ounces. But I looked it up. How gold today is $26.99 a troy ounce. That makes in a piece of gold in about $40,000 or so for a pound of it. I know they weigh a little differently. Well, I want to give all of you something today that is more valuable than gold. I want to endeavor to give you a gold nugget from the Word of God today. That comes out of the Book of Nahum, very simple, very plain. And I'll read it to you, and then we'll kind of deal it out for a moment. But in verse number 7, Nahum 1:7, he says, though, the Lord is good. How many of you believe He's good today? Say it with me today. The Lord is... Turn to your neighbor and tell him that. The Lord is good. And he goes on to say, a stronghold in the day of trouble. I believe we got troubled times around us today. And then he closes it by saying, he knows those who trust in him. What a powerful, powerful verse. Father, just bless your word today. Have your way and we'll praise you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said together, alrighty. So you already know where we're going today, but I believe there's about two or three little gold nuggets in that verse that I want you to latch on to today. Some of it will be refreshing your memory. Some of it may be new, but anyway, I just want to share with you the way the Lord laid it upon our heart. This particular book of Nahum was as he was giving word out to the Ninevites, the people of Nineveh. That's where he was giving his message to. He opened up the book. And he said, the burden against Nineveh. Not only was the burden against Nineveh, but he said, it's a vision of Nahum. So that's what we're sharing with you today. Nahum's vision on the burden that he had for Nineveh. And if we'll think back about Nineveh, Nineveh was a very wicked city. It was the capital of Assyria at the time. And back in Bible days then, we know that there was at least 120,000 people that lived there, or better, because it tells us that even in the book of Jonah, Jonah-oh. But in the book of Jonah, because that's where Jonah went, if you'll remember, after God put a call upon Jonah's life to go to Nineveh and preach, Jonah did like a lot of people do today. He started running away from God. And when he did, he started on a downward spiral to go down and down and down and down. What a message within itself, oh. But Jonah, my friend, after running, you know the story probably as well as I do or better. But after he got to running, he found himself on a ship going in the wrong direction. And they ended up throwing him overboard. And then you know it, my friend. A great fish, as the Word of God says. I don't know that it was a whale or what it was, but it truly was a great fish. It swallowed him. And a side note for just a moment. Reread Jonah, maybe, and let it speak to your heart. And realize that for a few days, Jonah lived in the belly of a fish. 3 days, 3 nights, I believe it says. Could you imagine living in the belly of a fish? And that fish going by and eating throughout the day, the hundreds and hundreds of pounds that they eat. And how all of that, after he mixes it with his saliva and chews and munches on it, and then slips it down the shower tube, that you can take a shower in his stomach. Could you imagine? Read it! He tells you about it. About all the marb and garb that was around his head and everything. He was desperate! And he began to pray. Aren't you glad that no matter where we're at, God will hear our prayer? Even in the belly of that fish at the deep of the ocean, God heard his prayer that day, and Jonah was wanting to tell God, said, God, I'm so sorry. Oh, you get me out of this place, and I'll preach for you. Sound familiar? A lot of people today will tell you that. God, get me out of this jam, and I'll preach for you. I'll do whatever for you. God gets them out of the jam, and somewhere along the line, they change their mind. That's good preaching. Amen, preacher. But Jonah, my friend, on that occasion, he was ready to preach. He went, and this is not my message. We're going back to Nam here in just a second. But he went to preach to Nineveh, and he had a very bold message, Joe. He was real happy about it. Happy-go-lucky. 40 days, people, and you are doomed. You read it. That's what he kept saying. 40 days, and you're dead. You're gone. You're history. But he went through the city, and with that particular message, God stirred the hearts of the people. And one of the greatest revivals ever recorded in the Word of God comes from that particular book. Because it said that day, not only did they start turning to God and repent, it said the king repented. He called for all of the animals to repent. He called for everybody to, we're going to sanctify a fast, and we're going to consecrate our hearts to, and it said the whole city gave their hearts to the Lord. I don't know what we've ever heard in history of a whole city giving their heart to the Lord. Maybe it's the Samaritan lady, she come close to it. But nevertheless, one of the greatest revivals in all of the Word of God, as they repented and turned their hearts to God that day. And we know as he closed the book out, it was at least about 120,000 people. Because he said, they don't even know their right hand from their left. I'd hate for somebody to say that to me. NR might tell me that next time we're playing golf, you don't even know your right hand from your left. But nevertheless, that's what the Ninevites was like. But God saved him on that occasion to a very dull message. I don't know, John, if I could have got excited about that. 40 days and you're done, boy. And I don't know, but they got stirred and they gave their hearts to the Lord, had a great revival throughout Nineveh. Well, they enjoyed the blessing of the Lord, but as time passes, about 100 years later, they had forgot the revival they had had. They had returned to their old ways. They had took back up the sinful lifestyle that they had once had. They even sacrificed their kids in the fire. They did all sorts of meanness, had idolatry, and all sorts of, they became very wicked. And my friend, even though they once were lost and had been saved, they went back to their old ways of doing. And Nahum comes in to tell them the picture. He said, Nineveh, you better wake up. Judgment's hanging over your head. Two different times in this little book of about 47 verses, two times he makes mentions. He said, the Lord is against you, Nineveh. I don't know, that'd be a pretty awesome cry to say, well, God's against you. And I'll tell you, to me that would stir my heart. But he said here, he said, people, Nineveh, he said, the Lord is himself is against you. You better mend your ways. And all you could go on and read it throughout this book. He tells them all sorts of things about it, how the Lord was against them, how they were wicked. They need to turn from their ways. But nestled right here in the middle of that great message of judgment he pronounced to them, Nahum pronounced a word of hope and glory. And right here in the middle of all of it, he made a statement, oh, he said, oh, the Lord is good. How many of you agree with that today? God is a good God. Thank God that he is. He is a very patient, loving, kind. He is a good God today. And thank God that he is. And in fact, we used to always say the saying, and I'm sure you've probably said it here at some given time, but we'd always say, what is it? God is good all the time. Now, I believe you can do a little bit better now. God is good and all the time. One more time. God is good and all the time. How do you believe that today? God is good all the time. Thank God he's good on the good days. He's good on the bad days. He's good on the troubled days. Our God is a good God. Woo! It may seem like he's forgotten you, but I'm here to tell you that he hadn't forgotten you, and he's still a good God. Oh, I can look back over my life and recollect of the many, many times that I have faltered along the way, my friend, and I have to look up with tears in my eyes and thank him, thank God, God, that you are a good God. You're not dealing with any of us after our ways, but you are a loving, patient, kind, protective God. You are a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a forgiving God. Aren't you glad? He's a patient God. Oh, he's a healing God, comforting God, a helping God. And oh, you can go on and on and on and on about it. Oh, God is a good God. We all have our ways. I have mine and you have yours. We all have them. But aren't you glad that God loves you in spite of your ways? Sometime I let my long tongue get in the way. Now I know none of you probably have that trouble. But I put this big number, 10, 9 or 10, I have a tendency somehow to get it in my mouth. And then regret the words I've spoken or what I've done or whatever. But still yet always when I turn back to God and look to God, he's always standing with outstretched arms. Just come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. I'll be there for you. You know why? God is a good God. And thank God. And I could go on and on singing or talking about that. Oh, how that God is a good God. And I'm sure you're aware of that, and you've helped me so much when we said God is a good God all the time, and how very, very true that it is. But then he made a statement of hope, but a prophetic word too. He said, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Why did he put day of trouble on it? Why did he say God is a stronghold? You know, one to help you, but he said, in a day of trouble. You know why he said that? You're going to have some days that trouble you. And some troubled days along life's journey. Tell the truth, John. Days that shake us up to the core. And that trouble us to our very soul. Days of trouble. Job, was it not him that said, our days are few and short and they're full of trouble. And how much it is. Life today seems to be full of trouble. You look on this hand, you look on that hand. I mean, look at the news for only 5 minutes. Our nation is in trouble today. We need a helping hand of God. And oh, my friend, it's troubled times, but he added a little phrase to that, though. He said, yeah, you're going to have days of trouble, but he said, I want to remind you that this God, the goodness of God, he said, in there, he is a stronghold in the day of trouble. Oh, he is a place, in other words, he's a hiding place for troubled times. In the 91st Psalm, it talks about, for those then have committed their way to the Lord and made Him their all in all. He says there in that particular Psalm, he talks about it. Oh, let me even go and even flip to it and even read it to you. It's one of my favorites that I read each and every day. But he said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge, and His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Thank God. He's our refuge in time of trouble. I have an object message I do each and every year at the church. Half for years and years and years. And last year I gave everybody a feather from that particular psalm. How that He'll protect us under His feathers. I had them to read that 91st Psalm. I even gave it to them in print as a bookmarker to take with them and read it and reassure them that throughout the year I want them to remember. If we made the Lord our refuge, He'll cover you with His feathers. You've seen the picture. You've heard of tales. Some of you are not too much younger than me. And you've seen chickens before. And I don't know, whatever you want to, I had some of them at church one time get in an argument then when I brought this subject up. Do you call them diddles or witties? I said, it makes no difference. They're a little bit of chickens. But anyway, them little ones, at the time of storm come in, where would they go? They'd run and get under mother's wings, and she'd hold the wings out, and all they'd run under there for protection and peace. I've even read before that even in the fiery storms, it would go through a forest. That little mother hens would sit there and literally burn to death protecting those little babes that was under her wings. I'm telling you, my friend, God is a good God. He is a refuge in time of trouble, a stronghold in the day of uneasiness. Now, I don't know which one you were. One or the other was. You were either a daddy's girl or mama's boy or whatever it may be. You be the judge. When I always had trouble, I'd always run to mama. Mama! Mama! Oh, she was there. John had those loving arms. No matter, I'd been in meanness. I'd created all kinds of trouble. I done told you I had a long tongue. I also had a short temper. Now, none of you all have to be minded with that. And when you put those two together, a long tongue and a short temper, you're in trouble. Well, I ended up in trouble lots of times, and I'd have to run to mama. I wrecked the same car 6 times. No NR didn't fix them or they'd have been fixed right, but anyway, I'd always run to mama. Mama was my shield, my protection. And I'll never, ever forget it. I had a wreck over there in Whiffle one day. A man pulled out in front of me, come out of the WCC college, right there where it's a real busy intersection, and pulled out in front of me, and I hit him there. And I'll never, ever forget it. I got in trouble that day, and the first thing I done when I got through there, I run home and I run to mama. Mama, I've wrecked my car. I've tore it up. I'm in trouble. They're going to get me. They're saying it's my fault. And oh, you know how mamas are. They're just loving and kind. But anyway, that day NR, I got so mad. She said, boy, sooner or later you're going to have to grow up. You've got to grow up and get over some of these childish things. Keep your foot off the pedal. She had a police officer one time tell her iron whiffle. She said, Miss Krieger, can you please have that boy lighten his foot up on that pedal? Said he loves that gas pedal. and said, if you don't get it, he says, he's going to be in trouble. Well, I ended up in trouble that day. But John, she had had enough. She said, boy, you're going to have to learn to do it on your own. I went out of the house that day, and I'll never, ever forget it. Walked around the upper side of the house. At the front of the house, we had some of these little green bushes that grow up tall. And standing there behind one of those bushes was my daddy. He'd always been a very soft-spoken guy. Never did fuss at me or anger very much. Only got one whipping from him in my entire life, but I never did forget it. But that day, he was standing there behind that bush with tears literally running down his face. And he simply looked at me that day and said, son, why don't you ever, ever ask me to help you? Oh, it ripped my heart out that day. But you know, in the same essence, the same way, we get ourselves in trouble in life, and God is standing there saying, children, 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 why don't you ever ask me to help you? I'm telling you today, God is a good God. He's more understanding than you think, and He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And then He closes it with another gold nugget here at the very end, you know, as he deals with it. He said here then, He knows those who trust in Him. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that when I have had troubles, when I have blundered, when I have goofed, I am so glad that I've went to Him and He's there to hear my cry. He's there to love me in the family of God. He's there to help me along the way. He's never turned His back. He's never pointed His face. He is a good God. He's a God of love today. Thank God that He is today. And oh, my friend, I read to you a while ago that 91st Psalm. It says, I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge. He's my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. That's what we need to get people to do today, to get back to trusting God and get back to trusting the Word of God. That's what we need more than anything else today. We need a good dose. Yeah, I love that song about filled with the Holy Ghost. And we need Him today. But we need a good dose of the Word of God in our hearts once again. Oh, my friend, God, help us. But He knows those who trust in Him. Hebrews chapter 11, only just a few more moments. Hebrews chapter 11 is full of heroes. Heroes of faith. They did amazing and mighty things. But if you'll read very carefully, that chapter is full of all kinds of misfits. People that had goofed up in life. People that had had all kinds of trouble. Read it carefully. But every one of them had come out victorious with a good testimony. And you know why? Every one of them put their trust in a never-failing God who always come through, who always be there for them. You can read over the book of Acts at the very end of it. Paul over there in that storm of life, I believe it was about 300 men almost on board that ship. It was about to go under. They were stuck out there. But in the middle of the night, the angel of the Lord came. I'm telling you, God is a good God. He'll be with you in the storms of life. Oh, my friend, you could go on and on. You know the story then of David and Goliath and the different ones, all sorts of them throughout the Bible. John, I want to get you to help me in a moment. Would you come up here and help me on the pen a minute? I don't know if you've heard it or not, and you may have, and that's okay. Louisa Sneed is her name. True thing, look it up. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right or not, but Louisa Sneed. She married a young man. They lived in New York. Well, one day they decided to go out to the harbor and have a family picnic. They had one daughter, Mr. Sneed, Mrs. Sneed, and their daughter, Lily, I believe was her name. But they were out there that day having picnic lunch. You're getting ready to have lunch in a moment. Just imagine, out on the harbor front. And all of a sudden they heard the cries out on the edge of the water. And looked, and there was a young man out there who had almost lost it. He was going down and up and down and up and down. Mr. Sneed eventually, without decision, took off, dropped that chicken bone and took off going. And running to Waters to grab that young man to save him. But I'm sure you've heard of stories such as this. That young man fought Mr. Steed in such a way that almost knocked him out. And that day, Mrs. Sneed stood on the banks of the New York Harbor and watched her own husband with that young gentleman drowned in the waters of the harbor. That woman wrestled with it and wrestled with it. And days later, then God inspired her with some words to a song that she wrote. And I don't know, John, if you can find me or where it's at. I want to start it. I'm sure as good as you are, you'll be able to. Somewhere usually in G or somewhere in there, O, but nevertheless, I want you to help me stand with me, church. Here's what she wrote that day. I'd like to get somebody from your praise team to come sing that goodness of God in a moment. We're going to tie it in. We're going to just tie it all to closing today. But here's the song she wrote. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Listen to it now. I'm so glad I've learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, the Savior friend. And I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Help me now. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, hold for grace to trust. One more and we'll pray today. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me, just as healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, that's what He's wanting today, people. No matter where you may be at, no matter your circumstances, He simply wants us to trust Him today. Because God is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Don't you worry about it. You may not be having the day of trouble, but you will. It comes to all of us. I don't like them, but they do. We just did a funeral service. Yes, that's where we was at, NR, late yesterday afternoon, but over in Tennessee of a nephew of ours. He's on the right track, but he had a lot of issues. He had some trouble. Found out then he had cancer, and it didn't last about a week. Last week, about a day or so before he went on, talked to him over the text. I couldn't get there in person. And I said, Kenny, how are things now with you? We're praying for you. And he says, Raj, that's how they did me. They cut it short. Raj, it'll be okay. Oh, I treasure it in or on my phone. I've got a tower cap it. Shared it with the family yesterday. When you put your trust in Him, family, it'll be okay. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. He's a good God. He'll never let you down. He'll always be there. No matter if it's in the fire, no matter where, read Isaiah 43 in the first part. He said, in the rivers of life, in the fire of life, wherever that, He said, I'll be with you because you're mine. You're precious in my sight. He's a good God. I don't know who it is, but praise team, but some of you, I'd like to sing it as we close in a moment. But while you're coming, or whoever it might be, I want to sing that goodness of God in a moment. But while you're coming, every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute at a time. I'm not going to embarrass you now, but I just wonder throughout the congregation today, you'd like to quickly raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me today. I'm having some troubles. Maybe at work, maybe at home, wherever it may be. Yes, thank God for that. Any others? No one looking, just every head bowed for a moment. Yes, thank God for that hand. Yes, thank God for that hand. Yes, thank God. Yeah, thank God for those. Hey, yeah. We've got some troubled times. It's not that nothing's necessarily wrong. We're just having some problems. And God is saying, oh, trust me, trust me, trust me. Look to me. Put your faith in me today. Let's pray today then as a family of God. If any of you want special prayer, if you'll step out and come this front, we'll pray with you today. Not only me, but the pastor, we'll pray. But join with me in prayer right now. Father, I humbly come to you today. You know as well as I, Father, we've shared what was upon our heart, how that God, you are a good God, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and you know everybody that puts their trust in you today. I don't know all the situations. I don't know everybody's lives here, but God, you do. And Father, we've already seen by the raise of some hands today. There's some, Father, I don't know if it's troubled or just problems or what it may be, but God, they need a helping hand. And God, you said you know those that trust you today. You've seen it, oh God. I pray right now that you'll touch them. God, you'll uplift them. You'll encourage them. You'll comfort them. You'll come through for them. Whatever the need may be. Because you are a good God who's more than enough. So Father, touch your children today. Bless your children today. Touch them today, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen.